got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We're going to take more phone calls. Nick in Clemson checks in. Nick, good to hear from you. Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for setting my call. First of all, I like, pretty much agree with all the other callers have said. And I agree with what you said earlier. We need to have a premature practice. Pretty much anybody, everything's on the table this rest of the season. Anybody who shows up to practice and wants to actually play or shows they want to play, they're going to be the ones that play the rest of the season.
Yep.
Second of all, senior day should be canceled because these kids have not earned it. The hill and running down the hill should be canceled because, again, these players haven't earned it the rest of this year. So, and these nepotism hires at the end of the season need to be fired. We need better coaches and the coaches that deserve to be. At least a lot of these kids are not being developed the way they need to be. And if that keeps on the way it has, we're not going to get the 5 stars and four-star players anymore. They'll stop coming to Clemson. But other than that, y'all have a great day. And I hope Clemson can pull out a win against UNC.
Yeah, thanks for getting in with us, Nick. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. And listen, man, like at the end of the day, it's just pretty frustrating to see the way that things have transpired this season. I think that's the word I keep coming back to is frustrating. It's frustrating. It's you know, something that's just effort. That's what I keep wrapping back to. I've watched the game back, you know, yesterday, watched the game back again after the game on Saturday as well. And like it got to the point where I was just laughing. Like I gave up on the film. I gave up. Because we're 3 plays into the game and I'm watching guys loaf. 3. I kid you not. On the second play of the game, TJ Parker missed a tackle. And ever since that moment onwards, they ran right at 3. They ran him off the field. They ran TJ Parker off the field. Seriously. To the point where Lawson and Denhoff were getting extended reps. And that was the right decision. Lawson looked like he cared. I'll give him the credit where it's due. Will Helt cares. I know that. I'm seeing it. Like, that's the thing for me. I know how to evaluate effort because it's obvious on tape when you go back and watch who's jumping off the tape of who cares and who doesn't care. There are guys that aren't taking plays off. And I do want to make that abundantly clear because I've dug my heels in because I think it's deserved for a lot of the guys today. There are guys on this team that care. I know Adam Randall cares. I know Tristan Smith cares. I know Wesco cares. I know Will Helt cares. Khalil Barnes, he's given 110% each and every snap. Jaheim Lawson, he's given each and every snap. Amari Adams, credit where it's due. A lot of the backups came in and actually played with the requisite level of intensity. They just don't have the talent of the starters. Strozier, we were critical of him last week because he's nowhere near as talented as the starting corners. At least he cares. At least he's out there playing hard. Because Ashton Hampton, he feels like he's given up. Ashton Hampton gave up when he got double moved last week in Atlanta. And he's just pouting now. I mean, seriously, like, when you go back and you watch a down-to-down basis, effort is undeniable. Effort is undeniable. You can't run from it on tape. You ask any football coach that, which I am not, but you ask any football coach, that is something that you can assess 10 times out of 10 on tape. Effort is not good enough. Danny in Greenville. Danny, good to hear from you.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well.
Hey, two things. One, I'm tired of seeing Clemson pat the coaches pat the player on the helmet when they come off the field when they make a mistake. I mean, I understand you can't always yell at them, but you're doing them a disservice in life, and you're doing them a disservice trying to go on as pro. If you tell them, oh, you messed up, it's okay, oh, it's okay. It's not always okay. And yeah. I also go back. My dad used to always tell me when I was a kid, it's hard to be hungry when you're comfortable. I mean, it seems like there's too many people over there comfortable, players and coaches.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Danny. The team plays like a team with a lack of intensity and a lack of urgency and a lack of care. And again, if Clemson comes out and loses five games in a season and goes 7-5, I can live with that reality if you're giving 110% each and every down, and I'll be proud of the team for going 7-5, because you know what? That's the best you've got. My issue with being 1-3 after four games is I know for a fact that this is not the best this Clemson team has from an effort perspective or from an execution perspective.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Sure, go ahead. What's up?
Tyler Gresham, I mean, I understand he's a nice guy, but he's got to go. I mean, we used to be wide receiver U. Now our wide receivers don't run routes. They don't block. When's the last time a wide receiver actually blocked anybody?
I mean, I think wide receiver blocking is a pretty big issue. T.J. Moore blocked his tail off last week in Atlanta. That's the only thing that comes to mind as far as this season goes. I think you've had one good wide receiver blocking performance in four games, and in the limited action that Tristan Smith has received, he's blocked pretty well as well. But I do understand where you're coming from.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Danny. 654 Roar is the number. And for what it's worth, like, I get there's going to be frustration with positional coaches today. And I understand that there's going to be, you know, people that are frustrated with a lot of things. On Grisham specifically, you've got some dog recruits coming in. And Grisham hit on Wesco, and Grisham hit on T.J. Moore, and Grisham hit on Antonio Williams, if we're just being fair.
And Tyler Brown.
I'm fair towards everyone. I praise and I criticize fairly. I think it's fair to criticize Grisham as far as some player development stuff goes. I think we also need to take a step back and say, man, has there been a position coach that's had this raw of a deal from an injury luck perspective? Because Clemson, in the Grisham era, has had some really unfortunate injury luck. John, your thoughts? I got to try to log back into the phone program.
No, I agree with you. I think in terms of position coaches who maybe need more scrutiny this morning, he would not be at the top of my list for me. There are other position groups I thought were more disappointing on Saturday and over the course of the season than wide receivers, albeit they have been disappointing.
Agreed. Let's get Pope in here on the phone line. 654 Roar is the number. Good to hear from you, Pope. How are we doing?
Hey, Fax. Pope here from Atlanta. Shout out to the chat, if you know, you know. I was going to talk about how, like, the portal wasn't the answer this offseason, but I think it is now. There are three guys on roster who are fighting their tails off every play. Like you said, 110%, blood, sweat, and tears, life on the line every play. Tristan Smith, who's not playing anywhere close to accept what is acceptably enough. Right, Will Held, who is the best defensive player on this team by far, hands down, and also Adam Randall. I know he's not a transfer, but right, this is a guy who picked Clemson from the start. Talked about growing up wanting to be a Tiger. All three of those guys chose Clemson over other places recently to be here and fight their tails off. Right, the portal wasn't the answer this past offseason, but I think it is this offseason. There are guys who said, well, I'll stay at Clemson if I get X amount of dollars. Man, shut up.
Yeah.
You don't get the money anymore. You're gone. We want guys who want to be here at Clemson, right? And if that means going 9-3 every year, I'm cool with that, because those guys on roster care. They care as much as I do. They're not posting, oh, it happens when you lose the biggest game you've had in 4 years.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of truth to that, and I think that, you know, all of this wraps back to accountability, and all of this wraps back to player leadership, in my opinion. And when you have a lack of accountability and when you have a lack of player leadership, you get the results that you get this year, because any team that had the mental toughness and the resilience requisite to turn this thing around and to go out there and send a message would have done it on Saturday. That's why I was optimistic coming into the game, because we saw Clemson turn it around last year against App State, and regardless of what your opinions are on last year's team, it was objectively a success to go to the ACC Championship, win it, and get back to the college football playoff for the first time in four seasons, which led everyone to believe, hey, you know what? This team can get up off the mat after losing to LSU. They did it last year, and you performed a lot better against LSU than you did against Georgia last year. This team this year is a lot better than the team was last year, and that's what makes this frustrating, is because, Pope, a lot of this feels controllable. A lot of this feels effort-related, and a lot of this feels like quitting. I saw a team on Saturday that felt like they were quitting on Coach Sweeney, and he has just simply done too much for this place to deserve having players quit on him and take this opportunity for granted. So from here on out, play the players that want to play. Play the players that want to play for Clemson, and I'll go 1-11 with the players that want to play for Clemson before I win the rest of my games with players that don't want to play for Clemson, simply put.
No, absolutely. We there's a lot of questions, and like you said, accountability and leadership. If past teams had the lack of leadership this team has, Clemson would not have two national championships in the past decade and a half.
Correct.
That's just facts.
Correct.
Right. Absolutely. Eric McElhane wouldn't have let this happen. Ben Bolwer is a player, would not have let this happen. Taj Boyd is a player, would not have let this happen. What changed from these guys being players and not letting it happen to now coaches and letting it happen?
I've got no idea. Pope, appreciate you getting in the program, brother. Have a good rest of your day, and appreciate your words.
Absolutely. Go Tigers.
Yep. 654-ROAR is the number. Let's go to Steven in Spartanburg. Steven, good to hear from you. We appreciate the phone call.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to get in and say I hope that my words reach Dabo like Tyler from Spartanburg, because I'm about to let him know the days of Sis Boom Ra and leading your team by vibrance and just cheerleading them on and having talent that could out-talent the other teams is over. We don't have guys behind guys anymore that we can just out-talent everyone. The teams that are succeeding this year, i.e. Brent Venables, i.e. Georgia Tech, they all have X's and O's coaches. We do not have an X and O coach. We have a Sis Boom Ra coach. I'm not saying he can't coach. I'm saying he tries to lead in a way that is not going to work anymore. We do not have the talent like we used to, where he could get them up like he used to. It has to be coached into them. And right now, we're failing at that miserably.
Well, Steven, let me take this in a different direction and kind of angle, and it piggybacks on your point. When I've done a lot of research, a lot of evaluation over the past couple weekends, because I'm frustrated. I'm an alumni. I'm a fan at heart, just like you guys, and I'm a normal human being just like you guys. I promise everything that you were saying at your television was going through my head watching the game on Saturday and probably more. I actually think when I take a step back and look just from the outside looking in at some of the biggest differences, you mentioned that guy after guy level of depth. Well, that doesn't exist anymore in college football and can't. But when I look back at Clemson from 2015 to 2020, I see generational quarterback play, I see an elite defensive coordinator, and I see skill position talent. But I look up front on the offensive line, and I see a good, not great unit. And I think Clemson has had some below average to maybe average units over the last 5 years. And when you combine that with a non-generational quarterback and a regression at your skill positions as far as player development and talent go, you kind of get the result that you're getting in real time. You look at a team like Michigan, they built their identity at the lines of scrimmage up front with the O linemen, and they were able to take that to a national championship. Ohio State with one of the best offensive lines in the country. Oregon out west that went 13-0 last year in the first year of the 12-team playoff. Their identity was up front. Clemson's issue is that they don't have a generational quarterback to mask for a lot of the issues at other positions anymore, and I think there needs to be some looking in the mirror from a program perspective as to how you're constructing this roster on a year-in, year-out basis, because it seemed like Georgia Tech is nowhere near as talented as what you are, but you know what they are? They're tough up front. And until Clemson gets tough up front, none of this is going to change. No matter who's playing quarterback, no matter who's playing wide receiver, no matter who's playing running back, and whether it's a wide receiver that's converted or a true freshman that's a five-star, Clemson does not have the quarterback or skill position play to mask for below average to average offensive line play anymore, especially with the way the game is played in 2025. And they need to take some notes from Georgia Tech from a roster construction standpoint with what they're prioritizing and where they're spending their money if you want to see actual change. Because the foundation of this team needs to be the big boys up front, paving the way for the running backs in the run game and making your quarterback's life easier.
Well, I do not dispute that at all. I simply want to say the coaches are responsible for the talent.
I don't disagree with that.
They're the ones who are putting it out there, and it's all going back to Dabo. Does he not understand talent and what's required nowadays versus what it was back then? We don't have the guys that we could rotate in. Once again, to my point, it's not stacking. And no, nobody's stacking. And you're seeing the teams that can X and O. The head coach has the X and O's. They are the ones who are leading the nation. It's not the Sis Boom Ra. It's not your Nick Sabans. It's not your Dabo Sweeney's. It's not your Shane Beamers. It's the guys who can X and O. It's those who are leading their teams in a way that the other coaches just can't anymore.
Yeah, I get your point, Steven. Appreciate you getting in. We got to take a quick break. Keep calling back in. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
There's some truth to what Steven's saying to a certain degree, but I'm in the position before we take a quick break. I think Dabo Swinney 100% can win at Clemson again. I don't think that this is something that's done and dusted on Coach Sweeney. I don't think that, you know, it's over like a lot of people are saying, but there clearly needs to be changes made from a philosophical standpoint as to what's going into the roster and what's going into the staff on a year-to-year basis. I think that much is fair to say right now. I'm not all the way in with Steven's commentary about how the X's and O's guys are taking over. Would it be preferable to have a head coach that's more X's and O's geared? Maybe for some.
To be fair, North Carolina hired the greatest X's and O's coach in the history of football.
I was going to say that as well. Like, I actually think from Clemson's standpoint and what the foundation is, you need somebody that's able to kick your team in the pants at the head. Like, look at Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning's not an X's and O's savant. He's great with X's and O's, but that's not his calling card. What's his calling card? His team wants to run through a brick freaking wall every single time they step on the field wearing the duck. Seriously. Every time they rep that O, Dan Lanning's got him ready to go. And if they steal that comment and steal that slogan, I want royalties because Lord knows they've got enough money. Quick break here on the program, John. We're going to take Tom the Buckeye, Noah, Joseph, and a couple more loading up on the phone line. 654-ROAR is the number. Faxon and John continuing right after this.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of TalkEach's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, TalkEachie is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Keeping your commercial roof in its best condition keeps your business running. Adams & Co. understands how important your business is to our community, your family, and your employees.
Whether you have shingle, silicone, TPO, metal, or a bitumen roof,
we not only repair current damage and leaks, but can also offer a free roof inspection to help catch small issues before they become a big problem. 864-260-0080. Call Adams & Co. for all your commercial roofing needs. Adams & Co., making a difference one roof at a time.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
At Toyota of Easley, it's the Clear the Lot sales event going on now. All 2025 models must go before the 2026 models arrive. Now is the time to get your best deal with great rates and discounts on all remaining 2025 Toyota Camrys, Corollas, or RAV4s. Hurry in to get the best selection of colors and amenities. Visit toyotaofeasley.com and pick out the vehicle you want. Then call to make an appointment or visit us at 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway and experience exceptional customer service for your new ride home.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main in Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, AMPMFarmsButcheryAndMarket.com.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, I've been told we have a new invader.
It's called the spotted lanternfly. It's got big wings, and it's red, and it's got spots. If you call us, we can tell you all about it. But we have a good program to keep them at bay. And if we don't, they're going to kill a lot of our trees, like 54 different species of tree. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Schneider Tree Care.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar, 654 Roar is the number. Before we head back to the phone lines, I do want to kind of clear up my take on the previous phone call from Steven in Spartanburg. So let me get something straight about Dabo Swinney's football acumen real quick. Dabo Swinney knows more about football and X's and O's and scheme than pretty much everybody on planet Earth. Like, top 0.01%. Just because he is not a savant, or that's not his calling card or biggest strength, does not mean that a 17-year tenured head coach who was a player and a positional coach prior to being a head coach doesn't have an understanding of what's going on schematically. I can guarantee you he does. Guarantee. With 100% certainty. So, just because that's not his calling card does not mean that that's this massive weakness that a lot of people like to push on Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney has delegated play calling duties on both sides of the ball, which has, objectively speaking, been the best decision for this university throughout the course of his tenure. This is one of the first times that I've questioned whether that's the best decision. Because guess what? I'd prefer Coach Swinney calling plays right now than Garrett Riley. Just to be fully candid with the audience.
I'm in agreement with you. Because I know that Dabo has a firm belief in running the football, and whether this is fair or not, through 3 years of him being the offensive coordinator here, I struggle to figure out what the identity is.
That's the word I want to focus on, and that's the word that I want to hyperfixate on, is identity. Because we're in year three with Garrett Riley calling plays on the offensive side of the ball. Garrett Riley has had all the time on planet Earth to work with Cade Klubnik, all the time on planet Earth to work with Christopher Vezina, and we just have not seen the ROI of that hire thus far. And while I don't think all of that is on Coach Riley, and while I will continue to maintain that one-person issues are not really a real thing in the football world, there has to be some level of blame placed on the play caller for the offensive woes at this juncture. There just has to. Point blank, period. You aren't 1-3 with the amount of weapons at your arsenal and averaging 20 points per game offensively if there's no blame to be put on your play caller. And for me, the issue wraps back to identity. Again, I can win. I can live with winning or losing. If I'm getting effort, I'm getting consistency, and I'm getting identity. Those are the three things. Effort, consistency, and identity. You want to watch a team that gives 110% effort? You want to watch a team that gives 110% consistency and 110% identity? Go watch Georgia Tech play football. Go watch them play. Go watch Brent Key coach his team and motivate his team. Go watch Buster Faulkner and the way that he concocts a game plan and sticks to what's working. You had a crucial, and here's the thing. We're 90 minutes through the program. We've talked about one play, which is the onside kick. I haven't even gotten into what my issues are with the X's and O's and with the play calling and with the situational football here. And Lord knows there's a lot of them. Because you are at multiple crucial junctures in this football game with an opportunity to turn your fate around. And you failed. You failed miserably and you failed repeatedly. Okay? You come out of the halftime locker room. You punt. Punt back to Syracuse. Syracuse goes down. They make a 49-yard field goal. You're getting the ball back down 27-14. And to be frank with the audience, you should have been down a lot more than that at this juncture. You're lucky to be down 13 at this point because they had 24 points so quick, it could make your head spin. Syracuse did. You get to a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1 in plus territory on Syracuse's 44. Adam Randall at this juncture is averaging 9.1 yards per carry. 9.1. You have a power back that is 6'2", 235 pounds, that is getting you 9 yards a pop on the ground. 9. He did not touch the football. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. It just is. And you want to go back to last week, and you go back to the game against Georgia Tech. You hold a 14-13 lead, and you have two drives in the third quarter where your defense plays their tail off, and they get you back-to-back three and outs. And you go three and out back-to-back times, and Adam Randall touches the football one time. Those are the situations where you win and you lose football games. And we can cry at Sweeney all we want for a few plays away. But guess what? You give Randall the ball in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, and you give Randall the ball right there in the third quarter, and there's a good chance we're coming in here this morning 3-1. And to further that point, you give the guy more than 5 carries against freaking LSU, you might be 4-0 for crying out loud. This team has no balance. This team has no identity. This team has no consistency. They've got nothing offensively. Absolutely nothing. There's not one thing on offense that I look forward to watching to on a week-to-week basis except Adam Randall and Bryant Wesco. It's the only thing. You cannot win not playing balanced football. This is not a complicated concept. This is a concept that was introduced with the inauguration of the game. You throw 60 times and your running back gets 16 carries? Like, where is the balance? Where is the balance? Where is the identity? What does Clemson do well offensively, John? What does Clemson do well?
Punt.
On that note, who's been holding on the longest? Tom the Buckeye. Tom, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, my team was off, so I watched that train wreck on Saturday. And I just want to back up some of the points you just made. I mean, I was going to say, what's changed over the last bunch of years? Brett Venables defense, you got that anymore? No. Allen sitting up in the booth. Yeah, he's got coaches on the sidelines, but is he down there hearing what's said to the players and giving them the stare, you know, or whatever as they come off? And then Garrett Riley, I mean, I'll just back up everything you just said. I've been trying to figure out what the offensive identity of this team is, and the fact that Randall is the only guy that gets any carries. They obviously need to develop some other running backs. They haven't. It's just, and then special teams with what happened on the kickoff, was which you already talked about. Dabo is not the issue, in my opinion, but he is out of sync, or these guys need to get on some vision of how to coach defense and not get gashed over that right side time and time again. There's some disconnect between him and his assistant coaches. Now, ultimately, yeah, he's responsible for that. And, you know, I'd be in a, hey, man, we got one more year to figure this out with you guys, because they aren't embracing or haven't figured out a culture, either defensively or offensively, and special teams, that is in sync with what I view as Clemson football.
Yeah, and as of right now, Tom, that's a lot of great points in that, and I keep wrapping back to the word identity because I don't know what it is. I don't know what the identity of this football team is. I don't know what the identity of this offense is. There's no balance or effort to be balanced in the play-calling duties. We want to rip Cade Klubnik to shreds, and I think some of it's warranted because he needs to play better. He's not being put in a position to succeed by his play caller. He just isn't. None of his strengths are accentuated. None of them. And all of his weaknesses are highlighted, in my eyes, in large part due to the play calling.
Yeah, and, you know, if there is a silver lining or good news to any of this, it can get turned around in a year. I mean, look at what happened to Florida State last year, but this is going to take some really hard, come-to-Jesus moments about what we're doing. Do we have the right guys out there? How we're distributing the NIL money? The kind of guys we're bringing into the program, all of that. I mean, it's all got to be on the table and all looked at in a, real hard, objective way. It really does.
There needs to be some looking in the mirror and there needs to be some change, Tom, for sure. Appreciate your phone call in, and I'm sure we'll catch up later this week.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Yep. Thanks for getting in. Let's go to Bryson Easley. Phone lines are slam packed. 654-ROAR if you want to get us in. Joseph, Ted, Noah, Cass, I see y'all as well going with time for waited on the phone lines and who's been waiting the longest. Bryce is up first. Bryce, appreciate the phone call, man. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, man. It was hard to watch, but
I'm gonna
bring up a point that I don't think many people really bring up, because I don't think there's a whole lot that I can say that hasn't already been said.
Okay.
But I look at Rivals, ESPN, Top 300. I look at all these players and future recruiting classes, and I look at their list of offers. And very few of those top premier guys do we even give offers to. And I look at Dabo from a roster management standpoint, and I can almost make the comparison to a sales rep that won over a big customer, and now he's going to quote-unquote, work from the lake for a couple of weeks or something because he had that big win.
Yeah.
And I can understand, wanting to get family, friends, and connections and friends of the program in and get their kids on the roster, this, that, and the other. But, when you have one of the, I think it's 2022 or 2023, when you have a kid, his last name's Sweeney, taking meaningful snaps at the wide receiver position, you're not building your roster with enough depth to be able to have a bust here and there and be able to survive it. And it's, I don't think he's putting together a roster year in and year out to the best of his ability to have the best possible football program. He can go win enough 5 stars so we say, hey, we're going to be excited about this guy coming in. But outside of that, you don't have next man up like Alabama. You could lose all your coordinators and your starting lineup at Alabama every year when Nick Saban was there, and you wouldn't even be able to tell there was a drop-off. And it's just concerning to me because it feels like it's been a progressively worse recruiting effort year in and year out, where I just don't know how the program responds.
Yeah, I think there's some fair points in there. We got to take a quick break here. Bryce, appreciate you joining the program, and you're more than welcome to call back in anytime. Thanks for getting in with us, Bryce. We got to take a quick break here. We've got Cass, Murph, Ted, Joseph, Noah on the phone line. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. We're going to take more phone calls on the other side. But my frustration is more effort-related than anything on the football field. But that doesn't mean I'm not frustrated with what happened on the football field from a situational standpoint and how the game was managed and how the game was called and how the game was game-planned, etc. I mean, listen, guys. There was a point in this game where Syracuse was on pace for 800 yards of total offense. 800. They ended the first quarter with over 200 yards of offense. We can complain about Cade Klubnik and the offense and Garrett Riley, and I think that there are more than valid complaints about all of those parties throughout the course of the season. What I was not expecting this weekend against Syracuse, even with a prolific NFL-style attack, was to get popped in the mouth for 200 yards in the first quarter and have 17 points hung on your dome in the first 16 minutes of the game. You can't win games like that, regardless. So, for all the issues with the offense, it also appears that a lot of the defensive issues haven't been fixed. Great. Quick break on the program.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local lodge.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at NewtonScottSC.com.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
Join us live at Trammell & Mills Law Firm in Anderson on Wednesday, October 1st for the kickoff to Tigers for Tatas. The Mickey Filer Show starts at 6, followed by Facts on Sports at 9. All proceeds from merchandise sales go to Dabo's All In Team Foundation. See you there.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive across from Krispy Kreme and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
welcome you back in. Final segment of hour number two on the program here on a Monday with Fax and Childress and John Hyde on the Roar. Noah's been holding on the longest in Spartanburg. Noah, good to hear from you.
How we doing? I know we could be better.
Could certainly be better. How you doing, Noah?
I'm all right. I mean, I just lost my running back for the year, but, I mean, what's new being an Arizona fan, right?
Yeah, I feel you, brother. I saw that unfortunate break with Connor yesterday.
I know Saturday wasn't good, but did anybody catch that Oklahoma game? I had them minus 6.5. Talk about the back door of a century, right? Holy crap.
Yeah, a little bailout there for Oklahoma, minus 6.5.
Oh, Brent's, my gosh.
Brent's guys look good, man. Defense is flying to the football.
I was going to say, is John Mateer and them boys, they going to go, is what my opinion is, right? Am I tripping for saying that? Like, I think they look like they're ready to win the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long schedule, and it's a daunting schedule. But as of this juncture, I think a 10-2 Oklahoma gets in, even if they don't get to Atlanta. So you got to handle business the rest of the way. And if you go 6-2 in your remaining games, I think you make the college football playoff for sure. I'm really happy for Brent Venables. I really value him and his acumen for the game. And, you know, to be frank, I think all Clemson fans miss the guy, right? I miss when that guy was on the sidelines with the energy that he brought and just an immense amount of respect for him and his family.
Yeah, and last thing is, man, them Panthers look good on Sunday.
Panthers are 49-0 over their opponents in the last six quarters. I don't know what changed at halftime in Arizona, but, yeah, maybe that has a little bit more to do with the Falcons, who I think need to fire their offensive coordinator. But the Panthers appear to have turned the corner, and they're just getting healthier and healthier, man. And I'll tell you, Xavier Leggett misses a game, and you put up 30 points. There ain't a coincidence in that. There ain't a coincidence in that, Noah, because they picked up some joker off the practice squad that looked great on Saturday, or on Sunday, rather.
Yeah, I mean, dude, we both said it last week. If you get rid of Leggett, I think the offense runs smoothly for some reason. It's really mind-boggling. Well, I appreciate y'all, and I just figured I'd call and talk about something other than Clemson football, because I'm assuming you've had about all you could take. You know what I mean? It's only you can only move forward from here. I've been a loser a long time in this NFL game, so I feel y'all's pain. I would say it only gets better, but it most certainly can get worse. Y'all have a great week.
I appreciate you checking in with us, Noah. 654 Roar is the number. And a texter gets in with something interesting that I'm trying to, like, double check right now. And again, not trying to rub salt in the wound, but at some point it just is what it is. Texter asks if Brent Venables' Oklahoma team had more sacks in one game, which was 10, than Clemson has in four games. I don't have the team stats for the season in front of me right now.
I'm just going to go ahead and assume that's a yes.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that's a yes, because I can't remember 10 off the top of my head. That's for darn sure. Let's get Cass in Powdersville in here, then coming to Joseph, then Murph. Cass, good to hear from you. Thanks for waiting.
Hey.
How are you?
The big thing is everybody's talking blaming somebody else. It's not nobody's fault. Is name, image, likeness.
I don't necessarily disagree with the sentiment, but
I know exactly how much money Cade Klubnik makes a year. It's outstanding. He's not worth it.
I don't think there's anybody arguing that.
I don't make all this money. I don't got to play as hard. And that's how all the rest of the players are, too.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I get where your frustrations are coming from. Thanks, Cass. 654 Roar is the number. Let's get Joseph in here. 654 Roar, if you want to check in. Joseph, good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you too. This is actually my first time ever on a radio program.
Hey, well, thanks for getting in with us, Joseph, and we appreciate the phone call.
Well, hold on. I got something to say.
Well, yeah, no, I was setting you up.
Sorry.
You're good.
Going back to what you were talking about with the whole definition for a team. I mean, I have a pretty good one. I think it's a huge money game. Being a former high school athlete myself, it was always about proving yourself to your team and, you know, being able to become a better player yourself. And I feel like these guys, you know, motivated as they are, I feel like they're all cushy now because of that NIL, like that gentleman before was talking about. I feel that because they're already being paid so much money. I feel like they're not going to play their best because of that. There's no reason to play well because you're already being paid like an NFL player. And like you were talking about those three new transfers playing their tails off, they're lucky to be here at Clemson from where they're from. These current guys, I feel like, are just here at Clemson playing for that money. And I feel like we just need more of those players that feel like they're lucky to be here and are motivated and wanting to be a part of this program. And as a student, ever since I ran on that paw for the first time, I was a passionate Clemson fan. I feel like these guys need to change.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fair points there. Hey, Joseph, we appreciate the call. Call back in more often, man. You did a good job.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So this is kind of my general takeaway. We're about to take Murph, then we're going to take Ted. This is kind of my general takeaway on the NIL thing. There's a human factor to this that has to be acknowledged that all of y'all are correct by saying, right? When you get the paycheck, that's going to take some of the incentive and the motivation away, right? And in the previous eras of college football, you were working so hard to get paid because you wanted to go to the league to get paid. And that's the biggest difference. But I do think it's important to remember there's 135-plus other programs out there at the Division I level that are also receiving massive financial compensation for their services. And I'm watching motivated football teams play on my television on Saturday. I watched a Miami team that looked like they wanted to freaking murder Florida for 60 straight minutes. And their guys up front are nasty on both sides of the ball. Reuben Bain Jr. and Mesidor, they're two edges. Both of those guys give 10 times the effort that TJ Parker does. And they're making similar money. So, again, it's about what's inside of you at the end of the day. You can't teach work ethic. You can't control work ethic as a coach. And you can have frustrations with Dabo, and you can have frustrations with his principles and the way that he builds his program, and you can be critical of Dabo Swinney. And I think a lot of that's deserved to a certain extent. But what's not on Dabo is guys loafing. That's not on Dabo. I'm sorry. I'm not pointing the finger at the head ball coach when I'm watching individual players take opportunities for granted and quit on this football team. I'm not blaming the head ball coach for that. He's the one that gave you the opportunity to go, like, hello, can the light go off for somebody on the defense? This person is the person that gave you this opportunity to get paid millions of dollars and to give you a platform at a premier program in college football en route to a potential long-term NFL career where he's produced a gazillion players. A gazillion. Like, that's the thing for me is you have a man in Dabo Swinney that's taken a chance on you, that's brought you into his institution, that's brought you into his university, his program that he's established as one of the premier ones in college football. And every Saturday, I watch guys take that opportunity for granted. And I watch guys loaf, and I watch guys quit on routes and quit on balls and quit on plays on defense and jog after the football. And Dabo Swinney deserves better. He does. He deserves his players to want to play hard for him, to want to die for that paw out there on the field. And that's where I think the biggest changes are needed the rest of the way. 1-3, 1-11, 7-5, it's all the same to me if you're giving a BS effort. Teams like that don't win, man. You don't win with lack of effort on both sides of the football on a down-in, down-out basis. And that's the number one thing that needs to change right here. So if you want to blame that on NIL, if you want to blame that on whatever it may be, you're more than entitled to have your opinion. And you're more than entitled to have that viewpoint. Because right now, the effort level is not requisite enough to deserve to win football games. And that's why I'm not mad at losing. You deserve to lose. Your effort level against Georgia Tech was one of a football team that deserved to lose the game. Your effort level against Syracuse was one of a football team that deserved to lose the game. You reap what you sow. And you earn what you earn. Football gods aren't going to reward teams that don't give effort, that don't put in the work. And that's what you're seeing this year. Murph from Mississippi. Murph, good to hear from you, man. Hope you've been well.
Oh, preach it, brother. I agree with everything you're saying. That's good stuff. My concern kind of ties into what you're talking about. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a sunshine pumper because, you know, let's be realistic. Like, speaking of the program, I mean, I was a student at Clemson when Dabo was hired. I mean, I've seen him build this program. And I kind of take some issue with what that caller said a few minutes ago about Dabo being the X and O's guy. I mean, he may not be the best X and O's coach in the country. But when I do think about what Dabo is good at, it's building a program, and the word's overused, but culture. I mean, we've had accountability, discipline, effort, every marker we've had with Dabo Swinney being our coach. And I don't know what's changed and what – well, a lot of football's changed, but I don't know what's changed inside our building to where effort is something we've got to be worried about. But this is the first time with Dabo Swinney being our coach that I'm worried about our team being motivated to play. Like, I don't know what needs to change. We got the right guy running our program. And for anybody that thinks otherwise, I'm close to the program that doesn't graduate players and maybe doesn't do things the right way all the time. The repercussions of that are a lot worse than 1-3.
Yep.
And we got the right guy running our program, but there's some concerning stuff right now.
Agreed. Agree wholeheartedly, Murph. And I think that's kind of my general takeaway is just that I don't know where things went wrong from a culture buy-in standpoint, et cetera. And I don't know how much of that blame needs to be pointed at Dabo versus individual players versus coordinators, positional coaches. I don't have all the answers because I'm not in the building. But what I do know is that the head man in charge established an elite culture for 15-plus years with that was the envy of everyone in the college football world. And this year, in these four games specifically, is the only time in the history of the existence that Dabo's been the head coach that I've questioned the culture. And for me, I look at a 16-year sample size where this wasn't an issue and a one-year sample size where it was, and I feel inclined more to blame the guys in the locker room than I do the head ball coach.
Yep, totally agree. I don't know. We got to right the ship, though.
Got to right the ship.
Fast, so.
Amen, brother. Amen. Appreciate you, Murph. Thanks for getting in with us. Hope you've been well. 654 Roar is the number. Ted, we got 3 minutes before the top of the break. Sorry to make you wait.
No, you're good. I am not going to sit there and throw stones at you guys. Just last year, I was sitting right there where you were looking at a program who got just embarrassed week after week, and a lot of it was due to lack of effort. So I'm glad to see that we've turned that page, but I want to talk a little Braves, and I think y'all got to call out the bad actors and start over when it comes to who you bring in from the outside and make them play hard. But I want to talk about the Braves. I'm not playing hard. The last 8 games have been victories for Atlanta, and they all haven't been against Washington. So I just want to talk about how we're finishing strong. You know, maybe starting to get a little healthy. And one thing this team is not doing, even though they don't have anything to play for, they haven't mailed it in, Faxon. They're playing for next season. They're playing for their jobs for next year. And I love this this kid at shortstop, man. Pay him $16 million. I'm all right with that because I think he'll at least produce.
Yeah.
It'll be more than we've had. And I think that if you can get Albies and keep him out of his funk next season and we get back to healthy Riley, I think this Braves team is going to mash next season.
Yeah.
But yep, that's all I got. I'll take your comments off the air. I know it's going to be a tough couple of days for you guys, but you'll work through it. Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate you, Ted. 654 Roar is the number. All right, in fairness to the callers, which are Tony, Jason, and Omar in that order for how long they've been waiting, I don't want to get you on here for a minute and a half before we have a top-of-the-hour break, so I'm going to take it to the top of the hour. If you guys would like to hold with us through the break, we're coming to Tony first on the other side, then Jason, then Omar, and anybody else that wants to get in at 654 Roar. A bunch of texts have gotten in repeating the same thing, like 012, and we appreciate all y'all getting in, saying that Cade was right in the post-game press conference about Syracuse faking the injuries, and they've been fined $25,000. To be frank, I don't really care if he was right or not. That didn't impact the game. You want to know what happens when, you know, you play tempo? You're going to subject yourself to things like that happening. You are. You want to know why Clemson had to play tempo? You were down 20 points on your home field to Syracuse. Yeah. It's a 17-point favorite.
Was it Bush League by Syracuse? Maybe. But that's not why you lost the game. You lost the game because you have millionaires who put on the shoulder pads and jerseys, decide not to care.
Yeah. And that was, again, we beat it into the pulp, but it's the truth and the reality of the situation. It was clear to me from snap one and snap two of the game that Clemson was not going to win the game. And as somebody that predicted Clemson to win in blowout fashion and for this to be the turning point, I do have to admit the reality that I knew what was on the other side if this wasn't a blowout win, right? Like, this was your chance. You still only had one ACC loss. You have a really advantageous schedule going forward to right the ship. And coming into this game, you still have a lot of the goals on the table that you outlined in the preseason. You could have rattled off 9 straight. You could have beat South Carolina. You could have gone into the college football playoff / ACC championship game as one of the hottest teams in the country. Everything was out there in front of you, man. Everything out there was out there in front of you. And you know what? I wish the guys in the locker room believed that, because they didn't. You could see it from snap one, truly. The guys on the field for the team on Saturday did not believe that there was anything left to play for this season, and it was indicated by their effort. Angeli marched them right down the field. Clemson's lucky they didn't lose by more. Clemson's lucky they didn't lose by more. Angeli suffered a tragic and horrible injury, and Syracuse started sitting on the ball a little bit so they could get to the finish line, and Clemson stat padded some numbers to make it look closer than it was. That's the reality of the situation. Quick break in the final hour of the program coming up right after this with Faxon and John on the Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560.